Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
In the next maybe 2 weeks, be teaching you about dealing with the spirit of heaviness. So let's talk about the spirit of heaviness. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take it from different angles, from the word of God. Tell someone there is something called the spirit of heaviness. It is a serious matter. Praise the Lord. Let's take our foundational scripture from Isaiah 61, verse number 3 and 4. Can we take it from verse 1, please? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound." Verse number 2 says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Praise the Lord. Then it talks about to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Praise the Lord. Are you excited at the reading of God's word? So you can see from verse number 3 that there is, of the many things that were said there, when it got to the garment of praise, it was to cure something that was spiritual, the spirit of heaviness. So let's talk about the spirit of heaviness, part 1. This is a messianic prophecy from verse 1. Jesus came into the world, and after Isaiah making this pronouncement in the book of Luke, Jesus also made the same pronouncement that the Spirit of the Lord, as it is written, the Spirit, he was referring to this particular verse, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord God has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. So straight away from this particular verse, number 1, you know that the anointing is to cure important things. And one of the things that anointing is to do is to preach good tidings unto the meek. Preach the good news to the meek. Good news, say good news. The reason why it takes the anointing to do that is because a lot of people live in bad news. A lot of people live in bad state. The bad state of life is what has taken over their lives, the situations, conditions of many people. And so to change that, people are anointed to change the narrative. And in doing so, we preach good news, good tidings unto the meek. Then he said, he has also sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So you know that people are not only in bad conditions, but people are also, there's a lot of broken heart in the system. Whether you like it or not, it is something that we know, that a lot of people are encountering broken heart. Yes, a lot of broken heart. Olubuabomodo broken heart kind of style. So too many broken heart. And so we will talk about a broken heart also. And then he said to proclaim liberty to those, to the captives. So too many people are also in captivity, one way or the other. And then the opening of prisons to those who are bound. So a lot of people are bound to personal prison, community prison, national prisons, international prisons. One of the prisons of this life is the prison of people's opinion. It's the reason why many people are not happy. What will people say? What do people think of me? It's a prison. It's an imprisonment. Tell somebody, come out of that prison. Tell somebody, I'm anointed to just bring you out of that prison of people's opinion. So many people lose their joy, they lose their happiness, they lose their peace because of all these things. The next verse talks about the fact that it's also to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the season of the Lord. It's a kairos moment of the Lord. It's very difficult to keep waiting upon the Lord until the time he wants to do what he wants to do. And so it takes the anointing to keep reminding you and to placing you in the perfect will of God. Because many people misalign when things are not going right. And so it takes the anointing to keep preaching, so that people will be aligned and people will just stick with patience and faith to the will of God. Say, the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. So there's a time that aggression from the Lord to comfort all that mourn. Now, if we put these two verses in perspective, you'll find out that there are more variables there dealing with things that are emotionally driven or things that have got strong impact on the emotions or the soul of a man. And so you see things like good news. You see things like broken heart. You see things like comfort. Praise the Lord. You see things like, give me some more. That someone is bound, you know. Things like bondage. And so you see, the next verse, please. You see things like proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord because people are mourning. And the child of God, or for every human being, your real operating room is your soul. You have your intellect there, your affection there. You have your all the things that make you to have proper relationship with people and your environment, they are in your soul. Are you here? Are you sure you are here? Your mind is there. So when the psalmist was praying and he was saying that you restored my soul, it was a major prayer. Because there are many people who are well dressed but are unwell. And some of the unwellness is not, it's not your doing. Sometimes you have been wired by your environment, wired by experiences to be unwell. Some are encountering rejection because they never saw daddy, never saw mommy, whoever they lived with also maltreated them or never accepted them into the bigger fold. A lot of people are nursing pain and sorrow that they can't even pinpoint what brought it and when it came, but it's been part and parcel of their growth. And so from time to time, you see them manifest some deep sorrow, deep emptiness, deep void, deep form of dryness. And sometimes you can't even put yourself together. And you don't know what is like in our regular street. You don't know what is doing you. Smile small so that I will know that your soul is fine. One day I was talking to one man of God from Nigeria, and Nigerians have this common saying. He says that many are mad, but few are naked. Many are mad, but few are naked. So it's a very dangerous saying. So you can see that you just watch when there's small carelessness on the road, how drivers and passengers react. You see that, actually, people are not 100%. And there are people who are always sucking it in. When things are not going well, they tend to be very hard on themselves because they believe that somebody is always assessing them in a negative light. Maybe you are behaving like this. If it were someone else, you wouldn't do that to that person because it is me. that you are doing that to because you look down on me, you don't think I'm valuable enough. But the truth of the matter is that when you are feeling like that, 9 out of 10 cases, the person treating you like that is the one who is unwell. Like the misbehavior is not because of your personality. The misbehavior is because the one misbehaving, something has broken down inside that person. So when you see people manifesting, it's not because they disrespect you. It's because something has broken down inside of them that they don't know how to contain themselves to behave well. And that brokenness, that defect, deficiency in them is what makes them to react and manifest the way they do when things come up. And sometimes, regardless of whoever is there, they will still manifest anyway. Are you here with me at all? They will manifest because they don't know any other way of doing it. I mean, the last time, I think there was a saying that, you know, difficult things will come, but the big deal is the reaction, how you respond to it. Everybody will go through something, but how do you respond to it? So the psalmist one time was praying, and he was saying that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So people can have a lot of punctures in their soul, and it makes them not to be effectively 100%. So receiving and giving good energy. You like this generation is energy generation. Good energy, good. So there are people who are sitting here, they are afraid to be in a relationship because they don't know how they will behave when they are not happy about something. They are afraid. They want to marry, but they are afraid of themselves. Because a common basana. They say, "Miss Miko program, you know, fake prophet be plenty prophet, but this one was fake prophet." AC Nisusa from Togo. Adiano, who cry you see the tunusa? No, I'm stopping and stopping. I'm confused. You be chano. Now, are you doing here? Miss, wow, where's your Holy Ghost? Yeah, I'm telling you, no lie. Yeah, one day, when some people who were there, I find them in the service, I'll let them confirm to you. In Nigeria, no be small matter. You can't ensure enough at Tinaniso. Sometimes, when people are having emotional expressions, you will feel like it's a demonic manifestation. But there are also times where, I need to get into the message, where the expressions people have, the response, the reactions people give to things are also as a result of a heavy cloud sponsored by darkness that makes people not to be able to be themselves. Are you here? So there is that emotional part, and there is that part which is also spiritual that makes people all of a sudden there are spiritual atmospheres. And David talks about when my heart is overwhelmed, you can get into a place and you lose all your joy. You can get into a zone also, and then everywhere is very heavy. Then you can also get into a zone, and then every heaviness in you just lift and you become very light. So atmospheres contain spirits. People also come with a package of spirit in them. And that is why when you are relating with people who are of a good spirit, they tend to supply you with a good spiritual substance that will also bless you, like good communication, then bad communication. In the book of Numbers, the Bible talks about bad report that brought a spirit of heaviness to the camp of the Israelites. So there is something called the spirit of heaviness. Say spirit of heaviness. And that spirit of heaviness, it doesn't respect anybody. It doesn't what? I'm preaching something that is very important, and we're going to pray. Tell somebody, this spirit, it does not respect anyone. It's called the spirit of heaviness. That's somebody, when it drops on you, it will just dampen your energy, confuse your mind. Sometimes you are there, you are sleeping all through. Yeah. You just be sleeping. All you want to do is to sleep. Spirit of heaviness. All you want to do, you don't have any grounds for joy. Every joy has left you. And it manifests itself in many, many ways. Today we just talk about, I will just scratch a small. So in most cases, in that verse 3, when people are experiencing those symptoms, they tend to feel like, oh, I'm having depressive tendencies. I don't feel myself. Are you here with me? Yeah, it's a clear sign is when you lose your joy. That's what he's talking about. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. It's a spirit. Some of the people that go to see psychiatrists and some psychologists for treatment of some of these psycho issues, if they were put in an environment where they will have relationship with people and make them happy, and they will take some wedomaquine, you know, for joy, you know, some of them we have to inject them with wedomaquine, preaching joy, good news to them. It will lift all the heaviness in them, and by the time you know, you don't need to put them on any antidepressant. But when you are beginning to sink, I'm bringing your mind to the fact that it is not always natural that you are there and you've lost energy. You don't want to, you have no quest, you have no, you know, you are lethargic, you become flat and sometimes negative. Some people even feel like committing suicide. Some become hopeless. Everywhere is gloom, doom. You are full of anxiety, no hope, hopeless. You are just, it's like you are sinking and sinking and you don't know how to stop yourself. It's a spirit of heaviness. And most of the time you will see that it is not like, it may be a new situation, but it's not an unusual situation. It may be something that has happened, nothing new under the sun. But somewhere, somehow, you are reacting differently. Because there is a spirit of what? Heaviness. When Goliath met the people of God in a battle, in the morning, he used to come and announce unto them that anybody who is a man here, come out. I am already here. Your God cannot save you. And you could see the level of heaviness in the camp. When Sennacherib came to Judah, try to attack the people of praise. He said that I don't know which God would deliver you people from my hand. So one of the things that the spirit of heaviness does, it takes hope away from you and then begins to make you sink. Once hope is taken away from you, you begin to struggle to work with your faith. And so I'm starting to preach the spirit of heaviness now. But let me just deal with the matter of hope and faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, the Bible talks about, one of the rarest it tries to define. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So you can see that really, faith rests on hope. Are you here? Faith rests on hope. Faith cometh by the word. But it rests on the hope. Christ in us is the hope of glory. So when somebody's hope is taken away from them by a circumstance, by whatever is happening inside of them, then the faith begins to struggle to work. It's like your legs have been taken. How do you walk? So when someone loses hope, they struggle to engage their faith. Everything they know about faith doesn't seem to be powerful enough to them because the hope is gone. And so faith is sponsored by our hope in Christ. Are you here? All the treasures, the ability in our hope in Christ, ability in his person, in the word of God and all of that. So when that hope is taken, then you don't even have legs to walk with Christ again. But when there is a hope for an answered prayer, then you are able to bring your faith on board. Are you with me? My pastor used to say that hope is the mother of faith. You should be hearing some things your pastor says. So, one of the symptoms you see that heaviness, or one of the things the devil does, is to take away your hope. That's why when they went to spy the land, they said, we saw giant today. And if you see their bicep and how powerful, tall, and their walls are, boy, we lost hope. We began to see ourselves like grasshopper. And so were we in their eyes. So one of the things the devil will immediately try to take away from you is hope. Because when he takes away your hope, he takes away your peace. Takes away your comfort. Are you here at all? Jesus said that to comfort them that mourn. So comfort is important for people who are encountering negativity. But this spirit called spirit of heaviness is a very bad spirit. This one. A whole family can be under that spirit. Going there, nobody thinks right. People behave anyhow. Because when there is low energy and negative energy, when people have negative energy, they behave anyhow. They don't behave cognitively. Their behavior becomes very illogical sometimes. You know, and you can't put two to two. And sometimes you feel like maybe the person has misbehavior, or why can't you come alive? No, there is a suppression. That is a spirit introducing into their system, making them not to be able to shake off. They know that they have to shake it off, but they can't shake it off. Because there is a spirit that is pressing their soul with darkness, with heaviness. Are you here at all? Come on now, are you sure you are here at all? And so we deal with this, and we have to tackle one of the things that the spirit of heaviness will make a person to manifest. And one of the things the person will be manifesting will be sadness. Is what? I can't hear you. Tell somebody, sadness is a very dangerous matter. You know, all these things that are emotional expressions, like sadness, anger, and all of that, they have their time for expiration. Jesus said that, be angry, but don't let the sun. Do you understand? So it has expiration. So when you are angry, everybody has a tendency of being angry. But it is also expected that because anger has expiration, your anger must not go overboard. And Jesus saying that it shouldn't go overboard, the thing he put to that thing was a timeline. That do not let the sun set on your anger. That means that every human being has a capacity to control their negative reaction, like anger. And you have to control and contain it within some timelines. Are you here at all? So when, the same with sadness. You are sad. You should be able to contain it at a certain point. Don't let the sun set on it. So when it goes past a certain time, and you are struggling genuinely to control that anger, know that it's no longer one person dealing with this matter. You have a visitor inside. Are you here at all? Ask somebody, do you have a squatter inside somewhere? A squatter around you, a visitor sponsoring that sadness. You are sad, you are trying to, you know, sometimes you really want to bring yourself out, but you are trying, it's not. No. Because you trying to bring yourself out, maybe playing music, reading the scriptures and all of that, is what you know. Scriptures. Scripture has produced for you, but it seems like Samson. Then he's just telling you that the natural terminal point for the reaction is now overpowering your natural energy. That tells you that the thing has graduated to a level where something is trying to exploit you. Something is trying to take advantage of your emotions and is trying to control, regulate it. That's why you are trying to use your mind, tongues, and all of that to control it. It's not controlling. So the time that it has to cut off, truncate, the thing itself has now entered into autopilot. You are there now. Then the sadness is 1 minute to be an enemy. Put your hand on your head. Say, hey, my head. Be loose from anything like that. Say, spirit of heaviness. You will not take over my life. I'm feeling like preaching this message already. Kai. Praise the Lord. And this thing can go into dimensions. So, look at a scripture like 1 Kings chapter number 21 verse 5. 1 Kings 21 verse 5. I'm talking about sadness now as an expression of the spirit of heaviness. It says, Jezebel was addressing Ahab. And she said, but Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? I'm giving you symptoms. So we see here sadness associated with the spirit. Why is your spirit so sad? That is the thing has just broken you down properly to a point where you are now manifesting some natural tendencies like not wanting to eat at all. Yeah, so when you go to the psychiatric hospital, one of the things they really try to do for people is try to get nurses that feed people. Because when people enter into that realm of course, for them, psychiatrists will call it deep depression, and sometimes people have different matters, you know, blah, 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 and all of that. One of the things they will do, people are angry and they will not eat proper food. Yeah, you see, some people eat all manner of things. They will set aside their necessary food and they will go empty of food for days. Some, when they want to eat now, the whole system make them eat. Some people eat fecal matter. Rice, jollof is there, well cooked by Echimele. They will neglect their necessary food and they will rather have appetite for what will destroy them. That's why you see a lot of people, when the spirit of heaviness takes over, they go into drugs. They want to drink some soda that will kill them, spike their energy, ingest some cocaine, do some heroin, self-destructive tendencies. And so a child of God must always be in readiness to battle sadness, which is an expression of one of those reactions or emotional states that the devil can take advantage of and introduce the spirit of heaviness to you. So Jezebel is just telling her, why is it that your spirit is so sad? So the thing starts as a very normal something. Then it will be graduating and then it will hit a particular level where when people come around you, the circumference around you will be projecting the sadness inside you to them. So there are some people, once you get closer to them, now you start losing energy. You start becoming sad. And there are some people, once you get closer to them, like Achille, you just get happy. Please, if you want to get happy, get closer to Achille. Because the thing can be so heavy that it now begins to deposit substance in your soul and you transmit what is inside of you to your environment. So that's why there are sadists. Yeah, some people cannot be tickled. They cannot be excited. They are not exciting. Everyone is happy. They can't be happy. And when you are around them, you see that what they will be sharing to you by Bluetooth is the deep-seated sadness. Have you seen when, for instance, I mean, when people lose precious people and they have not had closure, the sadness can be there that once you sit with them now, you yourself, you start crying for them. Do you understand? That is even when people have lost people, but people are in a permanent situation like that, where now the thing just develops, because there's a terminal point. When it doesn't terminate at that point, then it is getting into deeper dimensions. Why is thy spirit so sad? Can we look at the message? Or I should be in a hurry to preach this message. Please, verse 5, good. He said, Jezebel, his wife, came to him. She said, what's going on? Why are you so out of sorts and refusing to eat? Why is your spirit so sad? You are out of sorts. You are not your normal self. In Nehemiah 2:1, The guy came, and the Bible says it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. So this time around, he was expressing an emotional sadness. Look at verse number 2. So the king now detected this. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? You are not sick, so why is your face like that? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Is what? I'm beginning to go there. Then I was very sore afraid. He said, you are sad. It is drawing a picture on your face. But when we decode you properly, beyond the face is that your heart is very, very sorrowful. That's why in self-assessment too. Senior, when you are there, then you do your eye like this. And say, it's too pale. It means let me go and check my what? Blood level. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Broken heart can bring you that kind of thing. Is there something that is making you worry? Are you thinking? Do you understand? So, because sadness has a way of attending to your heart and the way your heart functions. Why should I preach this message? Because there are people in church who take cover in sadness. Yes. People will do anything to receive acceptance. Some people will just come in. They will just come with sad countenance so that you can ask them, what's going on? And you know, when you do it after a while, you cultivate a sad heart that it gets to a point you don't know any other way than to just fre-fre wherever sadness is. Yeah, so even when you go to where maybe someone is bereaved, you can even sorrow past the one who is bereaved. Chief mourner is your real title. Yeah. So there are some people, once you start talking to them about a matter, I mean, I'll go into difficult conversations. You say, but the first emotional expression they will give you is they will start crying. Saturday time, I can't show up and say I'm a preacher. Very disgusting. You can't make any meaningful, serious, sensitive conversation without them just pushing that emotional blackmail on you. Me no, I've not reached there in my message. But you have pushed me out to enter there right now. But I'm saying that you can allow your heart to be very, very sad. That's why Bible encourages us that we should guard our heart. Guard our heart from what enters into the heart. Because the shot that you are taking that's landing you in sadness, someone has taken it, shaken it, and the person is moving. Because the person decided to put a guard to the heart and not to attend deeper negative meanings to the things that, you know, they experience from time to time. But you, small thing, you want to process it, especially on the normal line, on the negative side of the normal line. Every time you're coming from negative 5, this thing that he said, okay, the way he looked at me, what is the meaning? What's the prophetic interpretation of this dream? Even me as a pastor or a prophet, call me whatever you want to call me. There are dreams I have. I don't want to know the meaning. What is important to me is that I wake up, I know this is negative, this is positive. If it's negative, we deal with it this way. If it's positive, we push it this way. As to getting the intricacies of, okay, that fly that came to do thing in front of me. Like, what does that one really, really mean? Then that one can take away your peace, can take away your joy. Are you here? And introduce gems into your spiritual space. By the time you know, the flies will just increase. Then you become spiritually very sick. Every time the thing is on your mind, it's on your mind. You can't get it off your mind. Get it. Open a window on your mind. Every child of God, for you to be free from the spirit of heaviness, you need a recycled bin inside your head. It's not every matter your system contracts that you will keep. Some of them you delete and put it in the recycling bin. Go inside and delete it permanently, so that your system can be free from viruses and crunchy storage. You know, sometimes your recycling bin can just reduce your storage capacity. That's why you get to a point, you see that issues, so small thing that you trigger. Because you can't store, you don't, your radius of tolerance has been broken. Because your space for storage is so small, so you are receiving a file now, then you see that no enough storage. So the matter we are discussing with you is something that you should ordinarily be able to accommodate to. But because you have allowed pile of things, you can't just take it. Simple conversation. Okay. This one that we have done the relationship for 2 years. What is the next step? Then you trigger. Wow. Charlie, nowadays, master's cry, how long does it take? Charlie, you have done double masters with this relationship. Someone say, God, I beg. Because the storage is very small. Very small. Once the person mentioned that now, every time we are relating, we are talking, now it's sadness you bring. Yeah, sadness, so that you don't go and bring that conversation, you lie. But your heart can be cultured. Do you understand? There are some families, you see that everybody is very happy, so everybody just learns to be happy. Then there are some people, they are always sad. You learn to be sad and you learn to be happy. He said, rejoice. I say what? Is that rejoicing? No. It's your personal responsibility. Clap for Jesus in book. Hey. Sorrow of heart. Ecclesiastes 7. Look at what the Bible said. It says, sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Can we read from the message? What I want to connect here is the fact that there is always a connection between your sadness and how your heart is functioning. He said, crying is better than laughing. It blotches the face, but it scars the heart. You see that when someone is not happy, or they are sad, it will tell on their countenance. Not only that, but it will also have an impact on their heart. A lot of the heart conditions that flying around, a lot of it is just because we are never happy. We refuse to be happy. Some people, the feeling of happiness make them feel weak. Yeah. Serious. What do you mean? What do you mean? If I laugh and I'm all out and I'm all going, people will think I'm not serious. So why? Ask somebody, say, why? What have we done? What has life done to you? Ezekiel 13:22, very quickly, please. Ezekiel, I'm just saying that the heart can be a container for sorrow. Ezekiel 13:22 says that because with lies, ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. This is God talking. And strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, but promising him life. So this is what the workforce prophets do. We'll come back to it. But what I want you to know is that even the righteous man can have a heart that is sad. He said, by your many lies, you have made the heart of the righteous what? Sad. So being a child of God does not insulate you from sadness. Even the righteous can get sad. But how you manage that sadness, how you respond to that sadness is key to your health. Key to your spiritual health, key to your natural health. your health here on ground. So sometimes people ask you, Pastor, I saw the shame found. There is no, even if you are mad, you'll be concerned about things. But what I will not allow is to allow some things to cross the line. That one, you have to build that capacity that you don't allow things to cross the line. Because once you start allowing things to cross the line, one, two, three, that whole gate will be broken. So anything, every bad thing, then it crosses the line. It crosses the line because then you don't have any safety guard at all. Receive that power right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. So it starts small, small. Charlie, you hear that someone is dead. Yeah, your emotions will be, you know, awakened. You have empathy, sympathy for the person. Charlie, you moan small, you throw it away because people will always die. How they die, when they die, really doesn't matter. When they are 200 years, you will feel the pain. When they are 3 years, you will feel the pain. When they are 20 years, you feel the pain. But Charlie, God has given us a mechanism to regulate how long we make this thing stay with us. So I love the person, so my person died. There's a time for grieving. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there is time for what?
Everything.
Under the sun. So Charlie, what grieving be? It's okay. You know, the thing is that even sometimes the people who died, if you were given opportunity to bring them back, they will kill you there. If you just try bringing anybody from heaven back to the earth, you see what they will do to you. You want to bring me to this Ghana? This Ghana again? This? Oh yeah, it's okay. And they say one pastor died and the wife say no grief. They prayed. After 3 days or so, the man came back to life. When the man came, the wife was there. The wife was celebrating. The man was just calm. Then when they would say, yeah, we are happy you are back. Who asked you to bring me back? He said they were showing him some mansions in wherever he was, heaven, chale. He said some of them cry. I'm just adding some embellishment to it. They were not completed, but they were nicer than Trasaco. How do you bring me back to this? We are coming to continue this suffering in this Africa again. Leave me, let me be with the Lord. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some of the people who have died, if you were given opportunity to bring them back, they will not be happy with you at all for trying to bring them. So all that crying you are crying. Yeah? You get to a point, they themselves will say, it's okay. It's okay. What is it? Leave me. I'm happy where I am. I'm happy where I am. It is your loss, not their loss. So manage your loss. Tell somebody, manage your losses. Yeah. Yeah, sad, sad. Then you can't sleep. Your sleep leaves you. Then you are angry that your partner is snoring. When we are all very sad, you have found a way to sleep. Why? Why are you snoring? If you are sleeping, boy, God, you sleep quietly. You are snoring on top. That means that you are really enjoying the sleep. Kai, God, I beg. Shakalabalagadada. Say every heaviness. Get out! There's so much life. Bible says that he that is joined to the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. If you have life, that's your greatest asset. You have to protect, you have to be the best asset manager of your own destiny. Life is what you have. No matter how much people love you, if you lose your life, they can't express their love to you. So your life is what you have. Love it. Don't destroy it. Jesus said, I lay down my life and I pick it what? I pick it. Be the manager over your life. Know when you lay it down and know when you what? You pick it up. Know when you commit it into the hands of people and know when you what? You take it away. Sometimes you are there and say that, oh, but he said he lost me. He's beating you. Then you say, he said he lost me. Take, you give it to them. Are you not the one who say yes? What will happen when you say no more yes? What will happen? I withdraw my yes. My Jimmy, yes. Even investment crowd, when you put timing on it, whether T bill, whatever, in the middle now, when you change your mind, you can go for a small penalty, they should call it. Give me bigger portion of my money. Let me go and manage my life. Then you are there and you are dying in sadness, 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 sadness. By the time the devourer, by the time that hunting animal will leave you, one of your legs will be gone. Chewed you, sir, drank your blood, sir, will leave you anemic. You'll be bleeding walking. You're trying to look for validation from people. What will people say? We are in the church. Everyone knows who we're going out. Ain't he? If you are going out, now go in. Go in. Go. Is it by force? They know you are going out, so what? I'm going in. Charlie, feel free. Oh. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? That bondage that you are keeping yourself is a clear sign that the Spirit of God is not there. I mostly quote Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the liberty wherein Christ has set you free. And do not entangle yourself again. Entanglement is your own doing. But Christ, he has set us free. You now, if you want to go and take the rope and put it on your neck and tighten it and go around the tree, and then when you are going, then the rope will knock you back and forth. That one is your own doing, because that's what people do. They go in circles and the circles goes on and on and on and on. By the time you know, the container containing the treasure will be cracked and everything will be draining, draining, leaking, 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 leaking. Yeah, your pan is it. You will see a very beautiful woman or a handsome brother. When you marry that person, you have actually married an animal. Because all the humanity in the person has allowed it to drain out from an abuser, from a bad relationship, from a bad situation. Then lovers are coming, and what the lovers have is the baller. The refuse that is left behind is what lovers have come to meet. Ask somebody why. We thought we have a lover. My lover, hey, my lover. Nani? We thought we had a lover. Charlie, the way when you are singing, pa, you can bring us to the presence of God. We thought that what is inside the BI is the treasure of the Holy Ghost. Not knowing that there is the God compartment, man compartment, and the abuser's compartment. There is a sad part of you that when it is triggered, we don't know what to do with you. Have you seen why you are sleeping when I'm preaching this message? Have you seen? The devil is a liar. It's a bad devil. You are delivered in Jesus' name. You have to listen to this message this evening, because I know some of you, the devil never allowed you to listen to the full message in church. You have to listen to it. Time now we need to know to mean that be no. Now the eighty. What a preacher. Can I give you some reasons that make people sad, right? I saw something Jesus said. Let me just mention that and go into the reasons. Matthew 6:16, when he was talking about the visibility of sadness, you know, he was addressing the Sadducees. He says that, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. And then he now begins to explain to us beyond the colon what that sad countenance comes with. Sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. How do we even know people are sad? Saddest, they would disfigure their face. To appear unto men. For me, when I am sad, I want the sadness to appear to me. I would deal with it and put it in the basket. Nobody should be receiving transmission of my sadness. Of course, when you have a partner, you can share a burden with and all of that. I mean, some things you need help. Are you here with me? But many of the things that make you sad are things that you can deal with. Like you are fasting. Then you have disfigured your face. Do you know why he's talking about that hypocrisy? Because it is needless. The matter that is making you sad, you ought to have dealt with it a long time. You are keeping it in your wardrobe. Then it is now disfiguring your face. So when a lover meets you, hello, by the grace of God. Is by the grace of God the response to hello? I miss you. Glory be to God. Wow. What a sad person. You can't relate to men. Hypocrite. Then you go and stand before God. God, give me marriage. Give me helpers. Then helpers come and they say that, oh, we miss you. Then you say, by grace. No heart-to-heart connection. Because sadness has taken over the heart. So you have nothing to receive what is coming to you. What? Ask somebody why. It's a spirit of heaviness, oh. It's manipulating you, son. By the time you know, you would drive away everything good away from you. No sad person is able to hold together for a long time treasure. Obey your son. Empty net because of sadness. But you see, when people want to celebrate a goal, when they have celebration in their mind, they will kill to put that ball in the net. But when players are not happy with the team, handling of the team, blah 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 blah, they can be careless in front of goal. That's why you see that the goals of your life, the visions of your life, even though the situation and the environment is an enabling one for you to achieve, it's just, you are just making it slip through because the energy, the focus, the sharpness that is required for you to be a target hitter, the sadness has taken over. So now you have become a normal, regular person who cannot love and see where treasure is. And sometimes in that situation, treasure will be coming to you crawling in a trash. And the sadness will make you lose every discernment to see beyond what is before you. And now you begin to treat people with disdain when they have been sent to you as your helpers. And so you begin to have all manner of attitude. Tell somebody, get out of there! Say, hey! Job gives you pressure small. You bring the sadness to your relationship. Sharing is caring. No, hey, stop it. Tell someone, stop it, stop it, stop it. There are a few things that makes people sad. One of the reasons is ruins. What is it? Ruins, when things are destroyed. Nehemiah 2:3. Very quickly. Nehemiah chapter 2, he said that, and Nehemiah said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So Nehemiah was in, what do you call it? He was in captivity, but he was making reference to the broken walls of Israel, and that issue had so consumed him to the point that it began to affect his service. He said, how can I be happy when everywhere is, there's damage everywhere, there's ruin everywhere, everywhere is collapsed. So when there are ruins, when there are damages, when things break down, it can make people sad. But it always comes with a cost. You know, he became sad, then he became afraid for his life. Because you couldn't serve the king with sadness. It's always negative. You can't give off your best, and you stand a chance of losing your life or your livelihood. Are you here? Or losing your mind, or losing yourself. Some people are so sad that they can't even dress. Or when they dress, they don't even see the beauty. All of us will be seeing the beauty, they see something different. Everything is damaged. Your self-imaging is damaged. You don't see you. You don't see Christ in you. All you see is what the boy said. Charlie, I wish to preach this message, pal. You are sad, sir. So when you came, and we too who love you see some beauty beyond what is being expressed, we say, what a girl. We are seeing the very nature and the very picture of God. Hey. I remember those days when Epiflora came. She used to have some serious matters on her face. So I'll be standing with her. I'll be hugging her. I'll be doing her French hug. How do they do? Cheek to cheek. Bisou. Yeah, we'll be doing bisou. I say, what a smooth face. Then I say, your face, I'll be telling her, I say, your face will be like inside your palm. She will look at me with one kind eye. What a liar. Today, look at her face. Boy, no who you na boy no bottom. You know who you. So imagine if she was going back to fight media people and all of that. Imagine the level of energy required for her to go on stage. So all the time when we're saying Flora is anointed, Flora is anointed, he was giving us just 20%. But the rest of the 80%, you know, she's using it to manage all of us. She doesn't even want to be there. Yeah. Do you understand? She doesn't want to be there. She's just, as you see her, she just do because she's obedient to the Lord, but she really doesn't want to be there. Especially I have powerful no be a jump person. No, what is all this? Nancy, my friend, I'm sure we'll see him show him. Unsani and Yamibeka Bia and Okre. Whatever is making you sad. Look, sometimes when you have tried your best and it's not there, keep trying, but God has time for it. God has what? Time for it. It's too powerful. Hannah became sad because she was looking for a child. One day God decided that, okay, time is up. The thing is not coming because you prayed. But I've decided that this is when I'm going to do it. If you are going to be sad because of effort, then you'll be woman to watch me. Now, because everyone also knows that I'm a very good pastor, if you, God forbid, mistakenly you go and die, people will be giving me offering. Oh, pastor, you are sad, collect. You tried. You just were giving me free money. Because they know that I tried my best. And so they will compensate me for my sadness. And I will collect, I will not reject. So don't die. Tell somebody, don't die. Keep living. Stop dying because of sadness. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. I have more where I came with this one. So we'll continue next Sunday. Please rise. Please rise. Pray and hand it over to the Lord. That's the key I'm giving you. Of all the keys I've given you, tell somebody, pray and hand the sadness over to the Lord. Jesus said, all of you who are heavy laden, and you are burdened by the whatever is weighing you, come unto me. You come. I will take your load and give you what? Rest. Last Wednesday, I said that a sign that the spirit of heaviness is overtaking you is that you sleep, but you don't rest. See that you struggle, you turn here, you turn. When you finally now enters into that unconsciousness, your mind will still be racing. You even be chasing witches in your house. You'll be fighting. You wake up and you see that energy has been expended, even in your unconsciousness. No rest. And you wake up more tired than you went to sleep sometimes. Mesmerized. You wake up, no energy. But he said, I'll give you garment of praise. Garment of what? That's why there's something in the Bible called sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise means that there is no, like, you don't have a positive reason to be praising. But you are praising, and that praise is a sacrifice. You are sacrificing your discomfort to praise because you trust in the ability of God. And the same way that heaviness is a spirit that can be worn on you like a cloth, he said, I'm giving you the garment of praise. As you start praising from your consciousness, you enter. You enter into a dimensional. Learn how to praise God and dance in your room. Learn how to praise and what? Dance in your room. One man change. To the audience of one. Every time. Kwame Owen. When you go and read 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel what? David had mighty men. He used to do everything with them. Conquer with them, blah, blah, blah. Share his weakness with them. One day, they went for a battle. When they came, the whole of their place had been burnt. Their wives, children, everything had been taken away. So now David was not looking for his comforters. When he went, his comforters were crying. There's a time that the people who comfort you now, when you are looking for them, they themselves, they are in a deeper mess than you. And when David pressed the matter, they almost stoned him. They said, Chale, they have carried our wives, so stop it. Nobody should be the reason for your joy. Nobody. Depend on the Holy Spirit for your joy. He's the spirit of joy. There's something called, he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Child, human beings, there's a level to which they can supply you with joy. Are you here with me? There's a level. Yesterday I saw Peter. When she put a surprise one on her emoji. And me and him, we discussed it some days before. But to emoji, it was a surprise. He was... When he saw Peter, he started crying. Oh, Peter. He cried. That's a pleasant surprise. You know, blah, blah, blah. But there are times... I mean, thank God for Peter now. But there are times that I knew him that he was in a big mess that he couldn't have been here. Do you understand? The people who make you happy today, just collect the happiness and move. Because there are times where they will not be there. And if you don't find them, God is always there for you to find. Do you understand? If today is there, collect it and go. But tomorrow it may not be there. Human beings are very fleeting. things are very fleeting. So be happy. Be what?
Happy.
Say, I'm happy. Say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. Say, I'm a happy person. Say it to yourself. Say it to yourself 7 times. Mention your name. I, Francis. If I mention your native name, I. I am a very, very happy person. My husband is not the supplier of my joy. My wife is not. My pastor is not. I am a very, very happy person. See a nice girl like me. Nice guy like me. I am a very, very happy person. You should be able to live on an island and be very happy with what God has put around you. So that, he said, kings will come to your brightness. They will not come to your sadness. By the time they enter, when Queen of Sheba entered Solomon's space, she was blown. She thought she was coming to contribute. She didn't know that, Charlie. She was coming to collect. Don't let people be the ones sponsoring your joy. Let them, when they come, they are coming into your word, the brightness of your glory. They are, you here? You are the one supplying them the joy, supplying them the things. Not they bringing. So, go punish the devil. So much inside of you to give to your world. If you marry someone, it's a privilege that they married you. Nobody has done you a favor for marrying you.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.